The passage reading is 1 Corinthians chapter 7 verses 7 to 9 and verses 25 through 38. Yet I wish that all men were even as I myself am. However, each man has his own gift from God, one in this manner and another in that. But I say to the unmarried and to widows that it is good for them if they remain even as I. But if they do not have self-control, let them marry. For it is better to marry than to burn with passion. Verses 25 through 38. Now concerning virgins, I have no command of the Lord, but I give an opinion as one who by the mercy of the Lord is trustworthy. I think then that this is good in view of the present distress, that it is good for a man to remain as he is. Are you bound to a wife? Do not seek to be released. Are you released from a wife? Do not seek a wife. But if you marry, you have not sinned. And if a virgin marries, she has not sinned. Yet such will have trouble in this life, and I am trying to spare you. But this I say, brethren, the time has been shortened, so that from now on those who have wives should be as though they have had none, and those who weep as though they did not weep, and those who rejoice as though they did not rejoice, and those who buy as though they did not possess, and those who use the world as though they did not make full use of it. For the form of this world is passing away, but I want you to be free from concern. One who is unmarried is concerned about the things of the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But one who is married is concerned about the things of the world, how he may please his wife. And his interests are divided. The woman who is unmarried and the virgin is concerned about the things of the Lord, that she may be holy both in body and spirit. But one who is married is concerned about the things of the world, how she may please her husband. This I say for your own benefit, not to put a restraint upon you, but to promote what is appropriate and to secure undistracted devotion to the Lord. But if any man thinks that he is acting unbecomingly toward his virgin daughter, if she is past her youth, and if it must be so, let him do what he wishes. He does not sin. Let her marry. But he who stands firm in his heart, being under no constraint, but has authority over his own will and has decided this in his own heart to keep his own virgin daughter, he will do well. So then both he who gives his own virgin daughter in marriage does well, and he who does not give her in marriage will do better. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, members of over 9,000 branch churches in Korea and all over the world, including the United States, Canada, Mexico, Guatemala, Honduras, El Salvador, Nicaragua, Costa Rica, Panama, Venezuela, Colombia, Ecuador, Peru, Brazil, Bolivia, Uruguay, Argentina, Chile, Japan, Mongolia, China, Taiwan, Thailand, Vietnam, Philippines, Malaysia, Indonesia, Nepal, India, Sri Lanka, Pakistan, Kazakhstan, Israel, Palestine, Egypt, Sudan, Ethiopia, Kenya, Uganda, Rwanda, Burundi, Tanzania, DR Congo, Gabon, Angola, Botswana, Swaziland, South Africa, Burkina Faso, Liberia, Cote d'Ivoire, Ghana, Nigeria, the United Kingdom, Ireland, France, Belgium, Holland, Germany, Italy, Greece, Russia, Sweden, Estonia, Belarus, Ukraine, Dagestan, and local sanctuary members, those who are attending the service on the internet all over the world, GCN viewing audiences, and Manmin TV viewing audiences. This is the second session on the biblical view on marriage. Today's reading passage, 1 Corinthians 7:38, says, so then both he who gives his own virgin daughter in marriage does well, and he who does not give her in marriage will do better. Those who have virgin daughters, single daughters, parents, which one is better for God? If you give her in marriage, you're doing well, but you're doing even better if you don't give her in marriage. So if you have faith, you will choose what is better in faith. And there are quite a few members in this church who choose what is better. In a secretary office, I said just five, but almost 100%. The single ladies, they are dedicating themselves for God. And there is just one person I know, she is dedicating herself, but I didn't check it, so I cannot say 100%, but I believe she will also dedicate herself without getting married. If you marry, you are doing well, but if you do not marry, you are doing better. Also, verse 7 in today's passage says, "Yet I wish that all men were even as I myself am." Namely, the Apostle Paul didn't want them to get married, just as he didn't. But Paul also said, however, each man has his own gift from God, one in this manner and another in that. It is a great blessing if everyone can choose not to marry, but not everyone can receive this word. But if you are looking up to God and the Lord only, and are filled with the hope of New Jerusalem, you can definitely receive this word. Why does God say it is more blessed not to get married? First, it is because there will be distress if you marry. You have physical distress because of fleshly love that changes, and also spiritual distress. While dating with each other before marriage, they think they will not change. This couple will not change. But after the marriage, everyone changes. The male members and female members, most of you will agree. Would you frankly raise your hands? If you agree, please be honest. Raise your hands. Just look around you. Most of people are, those who are not raising their hands, most of them are singles. And most of you are married. And just there are a few who did not raise their hands, few couples. And they are the ones who are in spirit now. So there are a few who, the couples. But I'm not asking about now. Before you change it into the truth, I'm asking about the past. So you can see most of you raise your hands. Some of you around didn't raise their hands because they are singles. You have physical distress because of fleshly love that changes and also spiritual distress. I explained up to this point in the last session. Frankly speaking, in my case too, before I believed in God, my love was not changing love. I really gave my heart. I checked again and again and then married. But before I believed in God, I regretted many times about marriage. And director, she finally divorced me once. And I walked all the way, about maybe 10 kilometers, walked all the way, even in snow, in that cold weather, just to meet her once, just to see her. And we met so often while dating. She loved me so much too. And even though I told her not to come, after I finished my military duty, I got a room for myself because I wanted to rejoin the college. So I got a room for myself and I wanted to study. And while studying, she would just come. So I told her not to come anymore because I have to study. I got released from April and I had to join the college again. And she, because at that time we had the national curfew, so she would come at 12. So I couldn't even send her away. We loved each other so much. But after the marriage, when I got sick and in those processes, the love cooled down. And finally, there was a process of trying to get a divorce. But in the providence of God, we came together again and formed, made a family, loving God alone. And so, even though we loved each other so much, but in different situations, the love changed. I explained up to this point in the last session. And secondly, not getting married is better, because if you get married, your heart would be divided. Your hearts will be divided into two or three. God tells us to love God only many times. Matthew 22:37 says, "And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind." And Jesus said many times, Mark 12:30 says, "And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength." Mark 12:33 says, "And to love him with all the heart, and with all the understanding, and with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as himself, is much more than all burnt offerings and sacrifices." Luke 10:27 says, "And he answered, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." So when I preach, if you read just one verse, with all your heart, with all your mind, and the senior pastor says so many other things, with all wisdom and strength and understanding and everything life. So I'm telling you, with all the verses together, not just one, not just from one verse. So if you understand that way, you think it is, you understand it is something from the Bible directly. Because it's not just from one verse, but many verses. So we have to love God first with all our heart, but this heart will be divided. How? The husband to the wife, and the wife to the husband. Not only these two. If you give birth to children, if you have children, you have to divide your heart for your children. So you cannot love God first. You cannot love God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and strength, and understanding, because your heart will be divided into three, not just three. If you give two children, if you have two children, three children, and your heart will be divided again and again. What God wants the most from His children is their heart to love Him first. Why we have to love God first? You already listened to Message of the Cross and other sermons. God is love, and He loved us so much. And to save us sinners, He sent His one and only Son, Jesus Christ, to be crucified as an atoning sacrifice. Because the peace between God and us was broken, to become the peace offering, His only Son, Jesus, was crucified. And this is the proof of God's love for us. That is why God is love. And it's the same with our Lord. He loved us so much. And to forgive us of our sins, He took all the sufferings of the cross. And He showed us the evidence of His love, how much He loved us. And even more than that, to save us completely, He sent the Holy Spirit, another helper, the Holy Spirit to us, to save us, to lead us to salvation. And He prepared such a good heavenly kingdom, and He's telling us to come. He doesn't force us to love Him. He doesn't force us to cast off sins. He is giving us beautiful things. To get these beautiful things, He is telling us to cast off evil. And if you say, oh God, I want to live like worldly people, I want to enjoy myself, we cannot say that. If you have any bit of faith, just a little bit of faith, you cannot say that. God's grace and God's love is so great. And if you have received, if you forsake such great love and grace, and it means you are disappointing us so much, you are grieving God so much, and the old believers must not ever do something like this. We should even give our life if God wants it. He is not even asking us of our life. He just wants us to be faithful in all God's house and lead a good Christian life so we can go into New Jerusalem. So what God wants the most from His children is their heart to love Him first. The kind of children that God wants is those children who love God with all their heart, mind, soul, might, wisdom, and with all their life. If you remain single because you love the Lord, then you'll probably try to fill your heart with the hope of heaven, thinking only about God. On the contrary, however, if not, then your heart will be divided if you get married. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 32 to 34 says, "But I want you to be free from concern. One who is unmarried is concerned about the things of the Lord, how he may please the Lord." One who is unmarried is concerned about the Lord only. But one who is married is concerned about the things of the world, how he may please his wife. Or the wife, how she may please her husband. And his interests are divided. The woman who is unmarried and the virgin is concerned about the things of the Lord, that she may be holy both in body and spirit. The woman who is unmarried and the virgin is concerned about the things of the Lord. Is concerned about that she may be holy both in body and spirit. She'll try to preserve her body and spirit clean, pure, without blame. To stand before the Lord without any blame or blemish. But one who is married is concerned about the things of the world, how she may please her husband. In actuality, some of those who are very enthusiastic in their life, in faith, before marriage, change their attitude after getting married. As I see many people change their attitude. They get stained by fleshly life and stop praying. They then begin to take the worldly things one by one to bring upon themselves trials. Even though their faith might not change this much, it would certainly be different before and after the marriage. I received many letters of repentance. They never used to skip Daniel prayer meetings. They never used to cease prayer. They used to attend all worship services. They loved God so much. But after dating, beginning to date somebody, most of them changed their attitudes. Their enthusiasm cools down. They just leave in the middle of Daniel prayer and they skip Daniel prayer. Where are they when they skip Daniel prayer meeting? Of course, you can guess where they are. And their love for God cools down. And their love for God cools down and their fervor cools down. They lose the grace of God. And slowly, they begin to commit sins. In the beginning, they say they promised each other, until marriage, we will not commit works of flesh. We will not sleep together. Man and woman, they make a promise firmly. But few of them keep their promises. There are some who keep their promise and get married, but it's only a few. Most of them cannot keep their promises and they fall into flesh. It is to disappoint God so much. It is their promise with God too, and they break this promise. Before the marriage, they can always focus on the works of the Lord. They can freely work for the Lord even in the early morning or late at night. But after marriage, they are bound to the family. If they seek the benefit of their spouse and let their spouse work for the Lord freely, then I can say it's a relatively better case. However, no matter how considerate your spouse is, the husband basically has the duty to support his family. Also, the wife has the responsibility to serve her husband. They cannot rest whenever they want to rest. They cannot work for God whenever they want to work. They have to consider the situation of the family. During the national holidays or vacation, before getting married, they could refresh their minds and bodies freely and work for the Lord as they desired. But now, they have to take care of their family. As a wife or a husband, or as a son-in-law or a daughter-in-law, they have to take care of their spouse's family too. Likewise, once they get married, their heart will be divided. Their money and time would also be divided. I'm not saying it's wrong to take care of your family. If you get married, you have to take the responsibility and you obviously have to care for your family members. This way, you can be faithful in all God's house. But if you have the choice, it would be much better, much more beneficial in a spiritual way if you give the time and money and effort to the Lord. I said it's a little better if both the husband and wife have good faith and they have cultivated spiritual love. They would try to let their spouse pray more and store up more rewards so that they can go to New Jerusalem. They can also have a good competition in faith, being spiritual friends. But in fact, it's a rarity to find such a couple. And if both of them have accomplished this kind of faith, they would be satisfied only with the Lord. So they wouldn't feel the need to get married in the first place. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, let me tell you once again that I am not saying that you should not get married or you must not get married. I'm just explaining what is more beneficial for those who have faith and hope for the heavenly kingdom. Those who have already married, you can support each other to go into better heavenly dwelling places, and you can cultivate spiritual love. You should love your husband or wife as your own body while you love God first, and you can have a blessed family like the family of Cornelius. Even if your spouse's faith is very small, he or she is still your husband or wife, the one you chose with love. Therefore, you have to pray for and serve your spouse. You must sacrifice yourself so that you can go together to better heavenly dwelling places. If your spouse has passed away, it is better that you just live for the Lord alone. It's better for singles not to get married, but if you decide to get married in your personal situations, and you have the freedom to do that. For example, a certain daughter has faith, but she cannot attend the church freely because of severe persecution from her parents. In this case, if this daughter marries a brother in Christ who has good faith, she can now attend church freely. Also, when this son-in-law serves his parents-in-law wisely and in a loving way, the parents also change. Or, a certain mother has faith, so she hopes that her daughter wouldn't suffer from the distress of marriage, but dedicates herself to the Lord with purity. It is something very good if this daughter lives for the Lord alone, as her mother wishes. But here, her father, who doesn't have faith, wants her to get married so much. In this situation, the mother doesn't have to be burdened in her heart, thinking that it is not right to let her daughter get married. 1 Corinthians 7:38 says, "So then both he who gives his own virgin daughter in marriage does well, and he who does not give her in marriage will do better." Because it's the word of God. It's better not to marry, not to give the daughters in marriage. I want to follow that. The parents may choose the better side, but in certain situations, they can also let their children marry. In the beginning of this chapter on marriage, there is a reason. Paul explains the reason why you can get married. Because of exceeding lust. Otherwise, if you can control your lust and if you can cast off your lust, then it's better not to get married. It's more blessed not to get married. I explained a little bit maybe last week why it is such a great blessing. First John chapter 2 verses 15 to 16 says, "Do not love the world nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. If you love anything in the world, it means you don't love God. If you love anything in the world, you cannot love God first. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world." So it's from the world, which means it's all from the devil. So it is more blessed to love God first, because you don't love anything in this world, because you can cast off everything and anything of this world. If you love God first with all your heart, mind, and soul, and understanding, will that person, if you do that, will you love anything in the world? You will cast off worldly things, and so you can go into spirit and whole spirit very quickly. It is a shortcut to go into New Jerusalem. And these people, they don't have for these people, the world is not worthy of these people. So they can, this is the direct highway to New Jerusalem. So those who become eunuchs by themselves for God, and all of them will be able to go into New Jerusalem because they love God first. They cut off all the worldly things. Because they love God, they became eunuchs by themselves. And how can they not cut off all the worldly things? They will obviously cut off all the worldly things. They will follow all the commandments of God, and they will do the things that God tells them to do and not do the things that God tells them not to do, so they can go into New Jerusalem. And that is why the Apostle Paul also said it is more blessed not to get married. Paul would have wanted to say, don't get married at all. But if he said that, those people who couldn't overcome their lust would have committed sins. So that is why, for them not to commit sins, Paul could only say like that, but it's not easy to go into New Jerusalem. Of course, nowadays, the will of the children is more important than the will of the parents, unlike the old days. Nowadays, children don't listen to their parents. If the children have the faith not to get married, they can do what they want. 1 Corinthians 7:9 also says, "But if they do not have self-control, let them marry. For it is better to marry than to burn with passion." The reason why it is beneficial not to get married is because it allows the people freedom to lead a more fervent life in faith. But even though their environment and conditions are good, they cannot go into spirit just because of the environment. More important thing is their determination and effort to become sanctified. If they do not try, they cannot get into New Jerusalem just because they don't get married. If they don't get married, thinking about how they would appear to other people and commit sins, being unable to control themselves, is better for them to get married. In the last session, in case of Pastor Seung-shin Kim, I explained her case. Her mother was not a believer, but when her daughter didn't want to get married, she didn't want her daughter to get married. Her daughter even graduated from Seoul National University. So she is going the way of a servant of the Lord, of a pastor being alone. So just ask her whether she is happy or not. So she is just so happy. That is why God opened her spiritual eyes widely, and she sees a spiritual realm so clearly.
First,
But they have to remember something when they get married. First, they must not marry an unbeliever. 2 Corinthians 6:14 says, "Do not be bound together with unbelievers. For what partnership have righteousness and lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness?" Unbeliever is of flesh, darkness. But believers have some light. They are trying to go into light. They are following the truth. And they cannot become united. They cannot have the same burden. Same. One part says, Lord. And the other part says, seeks the worldly things. And they say they love each other. For what partnership have righteousness and lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness? Light and darkness cannot associate with each other. I also told pastors many times, they should try to follow spiritual persons so they know what spirit is and they can go into spirit. If you follow flesh, they will both fall into flesh. They will just stay in flesh together. They speak fleshly words and they're far away from spirit. When they follow a man of spirit, then finally one day they can get close to spirit and go into spirit too. But if they follow flesh, it is just far away. It's too difficult to go into spirit. So I told the pastors many times, but flesh binds with flesh and spirit binds with spirit. But those who are spiritual pastors, those spiritual pastors have to accept and embrace warmly those who are other pastors who are in flesh, so they can go into spirit together. So what partnership have righteousness and lawlessness? Sometimes when believers marry unbelievers, they say their future spouse has promised to attend church after the marriage. And they say it is very good because they can marry somebody they love, and they can also save the soul of that person. But it is very risky to marry just by believing this kind of promise. There are many people who lie just to get married, and then break their promise after getting married. They say, "Oh, I will also attend church." They register and they attend church diligently before the marriage. They attend all the worship services and pray. And after, right after the marriage, from the very day of marriage, they change their mind and they force their wives not to attend church. I've seen so many cases among many church members and letters. So there are much more people who break their promise than those who keep their promises. They might attend church several times in the beginning, but faith cannot be given in a very short time. So they soon stop attending church. It's not only they stop attending church, but they begin to persecute their wives not to attend church. Some of them even hinder their wives, prevent them from attending church and persecute them. Then is it okay to marry if your future spouse attends church before the marriage? You can have the answer if you see the new believers around you. Even if they attend church for several months, or even for more than a year, they may change their mind anytime until they receive the Holy Spirit and have some measure of faith. People have changing mind. There are a few who doesn't change their mind. Most of them, they change their mind. They betray. They follow their own benefit. They change their attitude. But those who don't change their mind at all, they don't betray. They don't, following their own benefit, they don't betray, they don't change their mind. So when you date somebody, if you are dating somebody like that, who doesn't change their mind, it'll be so beneficial for you too. If you collaborate in business with such a person, then it is good. But in most cases, they change their mind. Even among brothers, they break up. They break up because of money, because they are brothers. Your biological brothers, your own brothers. One is a deacon in the church and his brother is his own brother. And when this person receives prayer from me, I ask, can you trust your brother? Then he says, oh, he's trustworthy, they have good relationship. And while they're doing the business together, their relationship begins to crack. And I saw what, and this deacon, he just gave everything to his brother and just, because he didn't want to fight. Before the collaboration, they had good terms with each other. But after they began doing business together, his brother changed his attitude. He was cheating his own brother and he was following his own benefits. Also, as I explained above, you will have conflicts to the extent that the husband and wife have difference in the measure of faith. Before the marriage, you wouldn't have this kind of a conflict because you love each other so much. But after the marriage, you will surely have conflicts. Sometimes the one who has had good faith begins to compromise, and this person's faith might cool down to be lukewarm. Therefore, if you really want to get married, it is very important to pray for your future spouse in advance. You have to ask God for somebody who has similar measure of faith and who has the same passion for New Jerusalem. Please listen carefully, all male members, to give this before this sermon was given, somebody did a research on female members. Probably they didn't do it on male members, but only on female members. If the question was, if you want to the female members, they asked if you have a choice to get married again, they will not marry the current husband. Almost all of them, all of them said they didn't want to get married with the current husband. Even among our believers, the problem is you husbands, you have to change. When you talk with each other, those who are in the truth now, if I were to marry again, I would choose you again. They say that. They say to each other, if we were to marry again, I would choose you again. One couple, married couple came in front of my office and they said the same thing. They say that with words. But when they didn't hear, if they can have the secret, their words change completely. If I were to marry again, I wouldn't get married. Even if I would get married again, I would choose somebody else. Husbands, this is for your information. This is something good. If you say, oh, I don't like it, and you shouldn't be, you shouldn't stumble because of this, because you can check yourself. You can think, did I really love my wife as my own body? You can check whether you complained about your wife, that she is not serving you properly in the way you are supposed to be served or something like that. But you have to check yourself how much you gave to your wife. So when you check yourself, both parties check themselves and improve themselves, then you can have better relationship. So you shouldn't go home and check with your wife. And most of them will say, how can they say, oh, I'll choose another man, not you? How can they say that in front of you? The second thing you have to remember is that you have to keep your body and mind pure until you actually get married. This is the same for both men and women. In the case of the Virgin Mary, she didn't sleep with Joseph even after getting engaged to him. In the case of Jews, if they got engaged, it was almost the same as getting married. Nevertheless, they kept their chastity until the marriage. This should be the same today. In Korea in the 60s and 70s, and before that, they kept their chastity. Even though they were engaged, they kept their chastity. I don't know if any of you here didn't keep their chastity. Then if you didn't, probably you didn't be so happy, as happy. If you kept your chastity before the marriage, and your family would be happy. Because you didn't love flesh. Because you loved each other with unchanging and spiritual love, you can have unchanging love with each other. Especially, even the unbelievers, by then, back then, they didn't sleep together before marriage. But after the 80s, when TVs came into existence, and since they had the color TVs, very quickly people got stained with sins. But just in 60s or 70s, people weren't like that. With the agreement of both families, they set a date for the wedding, but they didn't give their bodies until the marriage, until the first day of the wedding. They kept their body, not just in Korea, but as sins prevailed, people also corrupted so much. They have to keep their bodies. But they just give their bodies. They give their bodies to men and women. And if the man, they have to help their future wives to keep their bodies until the marriage. But they don't keep the chastity of their future wives. And they give the women, they just give their bodies. And their marriage life won't be happy. Most of you will agree. Maybe there are few who don't change their mind and who have who make a happy family, but very few. Most of you have been listening to the truth and you try to change, and you try to have a family in the truth, spiritual family. So most of you say they come to greet me and thank me, saying that if we hadn't come to this church, or if we hadn't met you, we would have already divorced, or I would have already committed suicide because of the husband, because she hated her husband so much. But after listening to this message in this church, she changed and her husband changed, and now they have a happy family. And they say that, confidently say that before the children and before me too. And there are many families that are like this. So having an unhappy family was in the past, but now they are changing into the truth, into happy and spiritual family. So now today, it should be the same. Even if you promise to get married, you have to keep each other until you actually have the wedding ceremony. This is true love. I know very well, because they give their bodies saying they will get married, but most of them betray. In most cases, from men. Men, they betray. And in some cases, women betray the men. And both of them, they betray each other. And very few couples actually do get married. Even among our believers here, among young people here, that is why I mourn so much. I grieve so much. They shouldn't do that. And how can they be saved? They're going farther and farther away from the truth and salvation. They are not attending church to lead a Christian life, but they are attending church to follow the flesh. So in the same mission groups, there is a man who touches this girl, that girl, and another woman. And those women, they, in heart, they want to be tempted. So when they ride a car by themselves, alone, it's like they are set on fire, set on flame. Those who are good at temptation, tempting others, they don't say, I love you from the beginning. They exchange some emails or exchange some short messages, cell phone messages, and when they have some contacts, then soon they fall into this kind of flesh. And young people, if you really love each other, even if you promise to get married, you have to keep each other until you actually have the wedding ceremony. This way you can have a really happy family. It is not right to say you sleep together before marriage because you love each other so much. You're committing sins before God, and how can you say you sleep with each other because you love so much? This is to deceive the other person as well as yourself. If you really love the other person and want to spend the rest of your life with that person, you don't ask that person to fulfill your lust only because you cannot be patient for such a short time until the wedding ceremony. This is not love. This is only fleshly lust. True love is to care for the other person and to keep that person until after the marriage. If the other person keeps such a truthful love, how truthful that person is in your sight too. They are wise brides and bridegrooms whom you can trust that they will not change even after the marriage. But fleshly love changes very easily. As I already mentioned the case of Amnon, fleshly love may appear fervent on the outside, but actually it is filthy. It eventually changes and causes pain. If you give your body before the marriage, but actually do get married as promised, then it's a relatively fortunate case. Some of you have concerns because you did not keep each other before you got married. If it happened when you didn't really have faith, and if you actually became husband and wife as promised, it didn't take away your salvation only because of that. But this is not something right in the sight of God. It means you have a blemish in your faith. Those who want to go into New Jerusalem, you shouldn't make any blemish. And because of that blemish, it will slow down your spiritual growth. Because Satan also accuses you so much, and you have to go through trials to that extent. If you realized your fault after getting married, now you can thoroughly repent, circumcise your heart diligently, and run towards New Jerusalem. If you go into the Spirit by doing this, your blemish can be cleansed. So to cleanse this kind of blemish, you have to adorn yourself diligently. You have to circumcise your heart. You have to go into Spirit quickly. You have to try to go into Spirit. And if you go into a Spirit, such blemish is cleansed, which means you are in the Spirit. Because otherwise, you are not in the Spirit. You know the Word of God very well. You know the truth very well. You can even give very good advice. You can teach very well. But you are still, because of the blemish, you are not in the Spirit. So you cannot have clear communication with God. Even if you are capable, you cannot really do that. You can have clear inspiration of the Holy Spirit, but you just receive some inspiration of the Holy Spirit. You can have clear spiritual eyes, so you can see spiritual realm clearly, the heavenly kingdom clearly, but your spiritual eyes are not open because of these things. But there will be trials. So you have to thoroughly repent, circumcise your heart diligently, and run towards New Jerusalem. And if you go into spirit by doing this, your blemish can be cleansed. And also by the trials. But there will be trials to achieve this level, and you have to take the trials with thanksgiving. But if you hastily sleep with each other and not get married, it means you have created a great wall of sin. In reality, there are so many people who betray their partner after sleeping with him or her. In some cases, they break up even after they greet each other's parents, get engaged, and set the date for a wedding. I read from the letters that you write to consult me about many people who commit sins this way, saying they will get married. They deceive others and get deceived, even though they listen to so many words of truth, experience the power of God, and say that they have faith. There are also some people who want to be seduced. They also know what the evident works of the flesh are. They also know that it is great sin to willfully commit sins after knowing the truth and experiencing the grace of God. If you follow your lust knowing the truth in this way, it means you are going the way of death. If you have great faith and you are so faithful, and you, even if you are confident that you can go into good dwelling place in heaven, even if you are so confident, if you commit sins leading to death, then that faith will also cool down. The faithfulness will also cool down. And you begin to lose the fullness of the Spirit. And the Holy Spirit may even be extinguished. If you go beyond the level set by God, then it means you cannot lead a Christian life with your own strength, without the help of the Holy Spirit. Oh, I'm still being faithful, I'm praying, but the Holy Spirit, because God has turned His face away, and the Holy Spirit is not helping you, you cannot do that. You cannot receive salvation by your own strength. Otherwise, God wouldn't even have sent the Holy Spirit to us at all in the first place. We cannot overcome the devil with our own strength. I've seen such cases so many times. Some say they believed the other person but were betrayed. But the truth is, they are suffering because they didn't do the right thing before God. Please don't say the other person betrayed you. You wanted to be tempted. In your heart, you wanted to give your body. That is why you did it. Nobody forced you. Did they beat you to knock you out and then do that? Now, what would young people do if they have faith and wisdom? They must never ask for the body or give their body only because they promised to get married. Oh, senior pastor, you are so old-fashioned. Today's world is not like that. But if that's the law of God, but this world is not running according to the will of God. God's will is that we keep the purity. He doesn't want us to be stained by sins and evil. And the church is a place to meet God, to pray. It's the house of prayer, to praise God, to pray to God, to have fellowship in faith, to go into better dwelling place in heaven, to go to heavenly kingdom, to resemble the Lord. This is the fellowship, the kind of fellowship we should have. We should not just, this is not a place to find some dates, find girlfriend and boyfriend. And if that happens in the church, how confused the whole church will be, how grieving it'll be to God. And you don't attend church for that. You attend church to receive forgiveness of sins, lead a good Christian life, to go to heaven and kingdom. You don't attend church to date somebody. And you shouldn't even think about it in the heart. That is why the revival stops in the mission groups. When the young adults mission, they, as a whole, most of them sent their repentance letters to me. And since then, since that point, young adults mission is being the number one in the church. Before, they were at the bottom. And as they broke down the wall of sin against God, God began to bless them too. God gave them revival. Blessing comes to the extent the wall of sin is broken. Before young adults' mission, they were at the bottom. But after repenting thoroughly, they became the number one. They must never ask for the body or give their body only because they promised to get married. If your date says he or she loves you but asks for something that is not right according to the truth, then you should quickly realize that your date is an untruthful person. If she or she becomes disappointed, or if his or her love cools down because you don't grant his or her request, it's much better not to get married with such a person. Oh, because you don't grant me my request, I don't want to get married. Then, if you came to know his or her identity, it's much better not to get married with such a person. Like in the case of Pastor Seung-Shin Kim. They even set the date of wedding. Both families greeted each other and everything. The man was also from Seoul National University. I'm not too sure, but please give your testimonial sermon when I'm away in Israel or something. And the groom, her fiancé, loved her so much, but he was a Roman Catholic, and he forced her not to attend this Manmin church. And when she came to this church and listened to this message, she found it was real truth, and she wanted to attend this church. This is her. But he began to say, I'll burn down this church and I will stab this senior pastor or something. And she came to a realization, oh, it would have been a disaster if I really got married him. I would have suffered for the rest of my life. She realized how evil this person was, and she broke up finally and not to get married. At that time, she wasn't even a pastor. She was just a member of the Nisei Orchestra. She was a member of Nisei Orchestra and being a new believer. And when she forsook all these worldly things, she came to love God only, casting off all the worldly things. So she became the leader in the Nisei Orchestra. And finally, she was called as a pastor, servant of God, and so it was so fortunate that she found out what kind of person he was. Otherwise, she would have suffered so much. Furthermore, if you date this person and that person, if you give your body easily even though you are not engaged, then it means you are committing evident works of the flesh. Brothers and sisters, one more thing you have to remember is that the church is not a place for dating somebody. Please keep this in mind. The church is the place to worship God. The purpose of the meetings in the church is to gather in the name of the Lord and save the souls. If you are planning to get married, and when you gather in the name of the Lord, you have to discern carefully what kind of heart you are gathering with. So in this summer retreat, I worried quite a lot. For the preparation of the summer retreat, you boys and girls, men and women, they gather together to prepare for athletes' day, or when they stay together, their heart may be stumbled or something like that. And I was quite worried. And in the Sixth United Mission, they men and women, they separately prepared everything, and so I was thankful for that. If you come to the meeting to look for a date or somebody you might possibly marry, then how can God accept such a heart? You have to come for the glory of God when you come to the church. Even though you are looking for a spouse, you shouldn't search within your thoughts, but you have to receive the guidance of the Holy Spirit through prayer. And not just you, but both the man and woman have to receive the same guidance. If it's the will of God, both of you will receive the same guidance, not just one side. But some say, oh, to cheat others, oh, I heard the voice of the Holy Spirit, I saw this in my dream that we are getting married or something. And they are deceived by this, something like this. They're deceived because they want to be deceived. How can they be deceived by these words? And they write in their letters that they were deceived because of such words. Brothers and sisters, there are also matters about remarriage or the cases where you can get a divorce in the truth, but I couldn't deal with them in detail in this sermon. About these matters, please refer to the book lecture on the 1 Corinthians. Let me conclude the message. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, 1 Corinthians 7:35 says, "This I say for your own benefit." Not to put a restraint, this is for your own benefit. For unmarried, single men and women, not to put a restraint upon you. The singles, men and women, oh, it's so difficult attending mom in church because of senior pastor. I cannot do this, do that. There are so many things that we must not do. And in other churches, they don't say that. In the world, it's not like that. And why does senior pastor say this and that, and he's restraining our freedom so much? If you think so, it is something very foolish, because this is the word of God. This is the right way of salvation. Because other churches do that, you follow that, it's very difficult to receive salvation because they commit sins. The Bible certainly says, if you commit sins, you will not be saved. It's not my word. It's the word of God. It's not me who is giving you a restraint. But God is telling us the right way, rightful way. Because you are unrighteous. You think it is restraint. And your freedom is taken away. That is not freedom. It is to be mocked by Satan. How can that be freedom? If you are restrained, we have to be restrained in the Lord. This is the truth. This is a good way. God is restraining us, and it is something very good. So not to put restraint upon you, but to promote what is appropriate and to secure undistracted devotion to the Lord. By saying undistracted devotion, it means they don't have to divide their heart here and there without having any distress. So this is the shortcut highway to New Jerusalem, because they don't have because they have undistracted devotion. They don't have to look here and there. They don't have to see this and that. They can only follow the right way, the truth. They love the Lord alone, and they pray, preach the gospel, and they are faithful in their workplaces, in their companies. They are loved by people. They glorify God. So there are so many things to do. God the Father always wants to give us the best things. So this word that I'm teaching you is the best thing that God wants to give to us. But He cannot just give, nor can He force us to go the way of blessing, because everything has to be in accordance with the justice. He can just teach us clearly the way of blessing and help us go that way. It is the same with marriage. God doesn't force us to get married or not get married. Because we have free will, it's good to get married in the Lord, and it's even better not to get married and serve the Lord only. But God is letting us know that for those who are longing for New Jerusalem, it is better for them not to get married so that they will secure undistracted devotion. Whether you already got married or not, the most important thing is your heart that loves God first. If you violate the law of God, commit sins, commit works of the flesh, and say that you love God, then it is a lie. Furthermore, if you love God first, if you say you love God first, then it's just complete nonsense. The reason why you determine not to get married must not be something else, but because you love God first. Because you love God first, and to love God first, you determine not to get married, to love God first, to go to New Jerusalem. Because you know, understand, in heart, the word in the Ecclesiastes, that everything is meaningless under the sun in this world. If you make up your mind to remain single for God, how could God not lead you to New Jerusalem? I also already told you once, in our church, there was a sister who loved God so much. She loved singing so much also. And she didn't have any evil. She looked very good. She was very meek and gentle. But she got sick. And she, even after receiving prayer, I prayed for her once, three times, but she was not healed. So I was wondering what it is like. She loved God so much. She loved her duty in the Lord, and she loved her shepherd. And why did she get sick? So I had to pray to God. Why she is this kind of daughter, and why did she get sick, diseased? And God explained to me. She asked her what she did with who? With this, a certain person. So I, God let me know who it was. So I told her. Only then she repented. She said, I didn't know it was sin. I didn't think it was sin. Of course, if you hear it, you'd laugh about it. Of course, it's not really sin. But of course, I'm not saying it's not completely sin, but of course, there was something that could trigger the anger of God, but she didn't even commit the work of flesh. But still, God gave this word with who? With this person, the name of the person too. And so she repented. And she wasn't healed again. And she came to repent even more. But she wasn't still healed. And after that, she felt the life without any hope of life. And only then, she finally repented what was deep inside her heart. But she didn't commit a work of flesh. Even then, she didn't accept that. God didn't accept that. She didn't even commit a work of flesh, but God didn't accept it. She was rode a car by themselves and went somewhere else, somewhere. And finally, she thoroughly repented and confessed. The senior pastor, I don't I hate those things now. I didn't know it was sin, but now I hate those things. I will only look up to New Jerusalem. And only after that, God began to touch her, heal her. And God healed her completely, and now she's giving glory to God. So a couple of years ago, I explained on the pulpit that she can go to New Jerusalem, but God doesn't want any blemish. To go into New Jerusalem, there mustn't be any blemish, because God doesn't want that. God turned his face away from her to give her that kind of trial, so she could thoroughly repent and pull out that root of evil from her heart. Only after that, God moved my heart. Before, even when I prayed, I didn't have the faith. I couldn't have the faith that she could be healed. But only after she thoroughly repented, I was assured that when I prayed for her, she would be healed. And she was healed actually. And now she only looks up to God and the Lord with all her life. And if one can go into New Jerusalem, God will refine them that way, accordingly. Because he doesn't want any blemish or spot from those people. It was the case with Job too. Job loved God, feared God so much. And why did God allow him such a harsh trial? His vessel, he could have gone into New Jerusalem, but with that, he couldn't go into New Jerusalem. So God allowed him trials, even up to the threshold of life, threshold of death. Job didn't have any sin on the outside. He just lived by the word of God. Even then, still, God allowed him trials. So through that trial, he realized the evil deep inside his heart. And when he repented, he received a double portion of blessings what he used to have. And before he was the richest man in the East, he received the blessing of children and health and everything. It was the case with David too. David loved God so much from his young age. He had great faith. But when he committed sin of murder, why did God just watch him? God could have prevented him from committing such a sin. Maybe he could have moved his heart, or he could have sent his prophet to stop him. But why did he not stop him? Because he can go into New Jersey. He's a big vessel. And through that trial, he could have pulled out all forms of evil from the deepest part of his heart too. And that's what happened. So even when Shimei, the man, just ordinary man, cursed at him, the king, his men wanted to kill him, but he didn't want to kill that person. And also about his son who rebelled against him, he asked the generals and the army not to treat him nicely. Because he pulled out all the deep evil that was in his heart. That is why he could have gone into higher place, very high place in New Jerusalem too. He will teach you the things you cannot realize, and he will give you grace and strength so that you can do even the things that you cannot do by your own strength. God will lead you to New Jerusalem, seeing your determination, because you give to the Lord something very precious. If you really do have hope for New Jerusalem, I urge you to be wise and blessed enough to be able to choose the truly best thing. Also, those of you who have already got married, You have to love God first, even more than your husband or wife. This is blessing. There are also some marriages that are prohibited by the church. If it is allowed among themselves, what would happen? They would give the signs with each other. They would give the signals. They would email each other. They came here to work for God. And they would begin to date each other. And if we don't stop them, what would happen in the church? That is why it is prohibited among Levites. I pray in the name of the Lord that all of you may cultivate this kind of heart and adorn yourselves as holy and pure brides of the Lord. Let's pray together, thinking about the message. Hallelujah, Lord, we thank you for your grace and love. Let this message become faith and life. Let the young people not have any confusion or conflicts. Let them understand the biblical view on marriage. Let them not have any confusions, but let them follow. Let them clearly understand the will of God and follow the will of God. Father, bless them and touch them, bless them. Let them understand clearly. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. I pray for the sick. Father God, lay your hands on them. Give them your power, power, power. Bless all the members, believers of churches, branch churches, and local sanctuaries who are attending the service through satellite all over the country, and all children of God who are attending the service on the internet all over the world, and GCN and Mommy TV viewers, and also they sent their prayer requests from many countries. Pastor Joseph Jonghi Han of India is through the OM Books International Book Fair in Chennai. Let the books of senior pastor become bestsellers in the world. And let so many people, so many souls receive salvation and life through the publication. Pastor Sungil Yu in Japan will have a summer retreat from 13th to 14th in Iramami Church. Be with them. Pastor Ito Masahaki will have Matsumoto Mami Church summer retreat. And also summer meeting. And also there he'll preach in Jesus Gospel Evangelic Church in Tokyo, Ogawa, and he is offering 4 times of 3-day fasting. Let him finish them well. And Reverend Wilson John Gill, for the peace and stability of Christians in Pakistan, Wang Xiaohui has a daughter who has a cerebral palsy, and his daughter, his father, Huang's son, has skin troubles and boils, and Zhong Ju Su has and Huang Zhanghong has hepatitis B. Huang Tingting has hepatitis B also. Zhong Guiliu, Huang Shishi wants to receive a blessing of conception. Wang Shouchung has after effects of surgery on the abdomen. Yang Rijin has a herniated disc. Yang Haijing wants to be freed from addiction to computers. Yang Tenten has a thyroidism. Be burnt by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Light come. Father God, lay your hands on them from head to toe, all entrails and cells and nerves and tissues. Burn them with the fire of the Holy Spirit. And all diseases in entrails and internal organs, go away, be burned by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Father, give them prosperity throughout this week. Give them peace. Protect and bless all their families, workplaces, and businesses. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray.